Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and to make Him known, and we now offer two services on Sundays. Our classic service begins at 9 a.m., and our modern service begins at 11:15 a.m., and it's also streamed on Facebook Live. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
Where are we at? Oh yeah, we're in a new series, second part of our series, Managing Our Emotions, Managing Our Emoji. And last week, we looked at managing our fear. This week is about managing our anger. I heard about a while ago about an older Amish husband and wife who were riding in their buggy when their horse suddenly stopped and it would not budge. The woman got down off her seat in anger and looked at the horse straight in the eye and angrily said, "That's one." So she got back into the buggy and it went further. Yes. Thank you. Normally I wouldn't care, but okay. And so the second part of what I was telling, if I can remember now, is so they go a little further down the road, and the horse stops again and will not budge. And so she gets down off the buggy, looks at the horse square in the eye and goes, that's two. She gets back into the buggy, and they go further down the road, and then it stops for the third time. And so she gets off the buggy. She is just furious now. She looks at the horse and right in the eyes and says, "That's three." And she takes a gun and she shoots the horse. Awful. And her husband goes, "You're crazy. What are you doing? That is our only horse. What's wrong with you?" And she gets back up in the buggy and looks him square in the eye and says to him, "That's one." She had some anger issues, I think, she needed to work on. But you know, we live in what we like to call, and others have said it, in an age of rage. We really do. Just get on Twitter or Facebook or social media, and you will see it's not hard to get into the middle of an argument, is it? I mean, that some of those things just roll on for days, especially the political ones, or just about sports, or about whatever, I don't know. It doesn't take long. And I tell you, arguing on social media is kind of like spitting in the wind. It's going to come back, get all over you. It's going to be nasty. It's going to get on everyone else around you. But everyone else will get to watch as well and chime in if they feel like it. And it gives us that chance for an opinion. Then there's road rage. There's road rage, right? Not that anyone in Florence, South Carolina has road rage. Of course there is road rage. I mean, you need to have the patience of Job at some times in this town to drive in here. I'm telling you, like, there's some folks, I love you, I do, but some of you, you're not in a hurry to get anywhere anytime quick. It's like, man, if I get there in an hour, it's okay. Some of us got other things to do. Maybe this is for me here this morning, right? Maybe I really don't get road rage. I'll just beep at you. I'm like, I feel better. My wife, I think she has a little road rage going on, but I don't know. What about before church? You're headed to church, especially if you got kids. Toddler doesn't want to get dressed, don't want to wear the clothes, don't want to get their shoes on. Then you lose a shoe, and then you're like, everything is sometimes going wrong on a Sunday morning. The enemy loves this, and so you're bickering back and forth. Then you get in an argument over something dumb, right? But the coffee's wrong, or this, or that, or whatever, and you get in the car, and you're arguing all the way to church, and you're mad at each other, and as soon as you walk through the foyer door, and you see the pastor, "Hey, preacher, it's so good to see you. It's a wonderful morning." You know you've done it before, right? My wife and I, we haven't been mad. We haven't argued in the car in years coming to church. We haven't. We stopped that. We don't ride together to come into church. So it's not an issue. It's not an issue at all. But handling anger in our lives is very important. In fact, half of the issues that Christian counselors deal with, they report that over 50% of the people who come in for counseling have a problem with anger. Think about that. Of all the different issues there is to go to a counselor about, half of them with Christian counselors is how to deal with anger. Why? Because anger can shatter relationships. It can shatter relationships in our job. It can shatter our marriages. It can steal and suck out the joy, and it can affect our health even. It really can. And sadly, though, people tend to justify their anger instead of taking responsibility for it. And that's kind of where our culture is at today. We like to blame everyone else for all of our problems. Well, as long as you're in that mindset of blaming everyone else for your problems, you'll never get to the root of your issues. You'll never take care of some of the problems that you have. You see, the fact is everyone struggles to some degree with anger. There's things that will set you off that other people could care less about. There's things that you're laid back about that will set other people off around you. It's something that we must manage. Men, our default emotion when things go sour tends to be anger. I think God wired us that way because anger is meant for action. That can be good, and then that can also be bad. It can lead to sin as well. And God wired us, so I think, that way for good, but sometimes we use it as bad. You know, I heard a pastor say, we may impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people through our weaknesses. And so the weaknesses in which you have, and everyone has weaknesses, I don't care who you are, you can try to hide that and pretend like you're Mr. or Mr. Perfect. No one is. Or you can say, you know what? What is God teaching me? And what does he want me to help teach other people around me? Because when you relate to people with your weaknesses, you'll connect with them. Then you can minister to them. And you and I are called to minister to people around us, to minister to their hurt. And thankfully, in God's word, it contains many principles regarding how to handle anger in a godly way and how to overcome sinful anger. It's been said, I saw this, I don't know who said it originally, but every now and then you see a quote on social media that, like, oh, I should add that. It says, if you don't heal that hurt, you'll bleed on people who didn't hurt you. So let's replace something. If you don't heal that anger, you'll bleed on people who didn't anger you. Yeah, it's true. And so let's see what the Bible has to say about this. And the very first thing I want us to look at is that anger is not always a sin. There's many people in the world who think, well, if you're a Christian, you can never get angry, or you should never get angry about anything. Well, that's not what the Bible says, for one. And anger is a God-given emotion in which he gave us. In fact, we see in Scripture that God gets angry. He does. There's things that anger God. In fact, I know God is love, God is a spirit, God has many different attributes, but one of his attributes, it would be anger. In fact, he's angry now. Scripture even says about certain things. Psalm 7:11 says, God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. And so the Bible approves of what we like to call righteous indignation. There's things, listen, there are things worth getting angry about and then doing something in the right way about them. Even Jesus got angry. Now, we could go on the whole thing about things, about God got angry about this, that, and why he got angry. That's a whole, man, you could do a whole study on that. But even Jesus got angry. In fact, if you in your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 2, but there's also in Mark 3 a different circumstance where Jesus got angry. And it says he looked around, talking about Jesus, at them angrily. He's looking at the Pharisees. Now, he didn't get angry with all the Pharisees, but he got oftentimes angry with the Pharisees because they had religion, right? But some of them had cold, cold, cold hearts. And in this situation, it says, he looked at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. And so the man held out his hand and it was restored. What's going on in this little passage in Mark 3? Basically, Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, supposed to be a day of rest, right? And these Pharisees were upset that he had healed people on the Sabbath. And here was a man who needed healing on the Sabbath. Jesus is there, and these Pharisees are trying to set Jesus up. And Jesus asked him, hey, if you had a, you know, your sheep or your ox fell in the ditch, would you get it out? Is that okay under the law? Oh, yeah, it is. Well, you know what? People are far more important than any animal. Amen? I mean, that probably needs to be said in our society a little bit. Sometimes we treat dogs and cats better than we treat people sometimes. But Jesus goes on to say, hey, if you would get that person, that animal out of the ditch, how much more should you help someone else who needs a healing, who needs help? And so, man, it made Jesus angry. Listen, religion and rules that you follow that also have, but yet you have a cold heart to those who do not look like you, who do not smell like you, that don't have the same color skin as you. Listen, it angers the Lord. It does. And let me tell you something. This message is not on racism here today, but just as a tidbit, if you are a Christian and you love Jesus, and you are racist towards other people because of the way they look, because of the color of skin they have, you have a huge sin problem. And let me tell you something. The Lord is angry at that, and he is saddened by that hard, cold heart. I just want you to know. He's not for it. In fact, if you're a racist and you can't repent of that, go to church somewhere else. We don't need you. Repent of it. We love you. Make it right. Don't have time for it. Anger is not always a sin. It's also acceptable at times for believers to be angry. If you can't tell, racism angers me. Scripture says this, though. This is what it says in Ephesians 4. And I totally skipped John 2. Let's look at John 2, all right? I got off track. John 2, in verse chapter 13, Jesus clears the temple. If you don't think Jesus ever got angry, you don't know the Jesus of the Bible. If your Jesus doesn't get angry, then you have an idol for Jesus. You have an idol for your God. And it was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. In the temple area, he saw merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves for sacrifices. He also saw dealers at tables exchanging foreign money. So what's going on here? They are selling overpriced sacrifices. Of course, there are going to come people from abroad, Jews from abroad. Even some Gentiles would come and have sacrifices and pay for them. And they were exchanging foreign money. And Jesus notice this, he makes a whip from some ropes and chased them all out of the temple. He had seen this his entire life. He did this at the beginning of his ministry, and he did it a second time at the end of his 3.5 years of ministry. He wanted the temple cleared. He had seen enough. He was not happy with it. He drove out the sheep and the cattle, scattered the money changers' coins over the floor, turned over their tables. Then going to the people who sold the doves, he told them, get these things out of here. Stop turning my Father's house into a marketplace. In some versions, it says a den of thieves. Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from the scriptures. Scripture was fulfilled here. Passion for God's house will consume me. But the Jewish leaders demanded, what are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it. And he said, all right. Jesus replied, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. But he was talking about himself, who's going to go to the cross, die, and resurrect after 3 days. Think about that. Jesus makes his own whip from some ropes. Listen, I mean, you talk about someone, a righteous indignation. Jesus was angry by anything that gets in the way of us worshiping him, of getting in the way of other people worshiping him. Listen, there are things that makes God very, very angry. And Jesus here is living. They'd made the temple, they'd made the area that was supposed to be a worship of the Lord into a place of den of thieves. There are also times where believers should be angry. But in our anger, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, now notice this, I don't want you to leave here and go, hey, preacher said I can be as angry as I want. Don't miss the rest of this sermon, okay? There's things you should get angry about. But notice, and do not sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Well, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Maybe you've read that recently. Maybe you and your spouse didn't sleep for 3 days. I don't know. In other words, don't hold on to the anger. Make it right. You see, biblically, anger is a God-given energy intended to help us solve problems. Solve problems. Anywhere from where David in the Old Testament was upset hearing an injustice from Nathan the prophet, from anywhere from seeing here with Jesus seeing an injustice. But all these examples, when you go throughout Scripture, in the Bible involve either self-defense or the defense of others or some principle that was being violated. There's things that God is not okay with. And anger has to be, for us, a warning flag. It alerts us when there's times when others are attempting to violate our boundaries or the boundaries of other people. And I want you to know this, though, is make sure you're getting angry. If you're going to get angry about something, then you're getting angry about the right kind of things. Because let's face it, there are times in our life maybe where we get angry or we go off at every little thing that irritates us. That's not of the Lord. It's not. We all have been there before. If you're going to get angry at the things that God would get angry at. Dislike or hate the things that God would hate. Proverbs 6 talks about some of the things that God hates. Check it out. There's things that God hates. There is. And He is a God of love. He is. And I would even venture to say that the fact is, maybe you're here and you're like, well, I'm more of a pacifist. Like, I don't get angry about anything. I would almost argue and say that not letting certain things anger you is just as much of a sin as being overly angry about certain things. There's things that should anger you. There's things in this world, injustice, that should anger us, that we should stand up for. That we should stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. Amen? There's things that we should. You know, Popeye. You watch Popeye when you're a kid? Yeah, Popeye the Sailor Man. Not Popeye's Chicken, Popeye the Sailor Man, all right? Maybe you watch some of his old cartoons. They're pretty interesting. You ever watch some of the old cartoons like Tom and Jerry? I'm like, man, some of those were a little more brutal than I remember as a kid. Like, I know some of them were really old, but like the reruns, like some of them were like sitting back smoking. And I'm like, well, that wouldn't go over very well today, you know. But I guess we turned out all right. I don't know. But Popeye had a girlfriend, right? Olive Oil. I'm not sure how they came up with that name, but whatever. Weird name for a character. But Olive Oil. And he had an enemy in Brutus. And Brutus comes after his girl. In this cartoon, and Olive Oil starts making a mess, and Popeye gets to a point where he says, "Now, if you haven't heard Popeye, I'm just quoting here, right? That's all I can stands. I stands no more. I'm done. I'm finished." And so, what does he do? What does he do? He gets up. Of course, he has some spinach somewhere around, and he takes the spinach and he squishes it, and it flies way up in the air, and he leans back and catches it. I thought, man, that's neat. I remember my cousin Mike and I saw that. We're like, man, I want to be strong like Popeye. And so we got spinach out. We were ready to roll. Then we spit it out because that thing is nasty. It's like, I guess we don't want to be strong like Popeye. But some of you need to have a Popeye moment. You need to have a Popeye moment and go, you know what? I've had enough. That's as much as I can stand, because there are certain things worth getting angry about and putting action to your anger. Let's talk about just for a moment. Maybe as you watch Financial Peace University and Dave Ramsey on that promo video, you go, you know what, that's something I need. You're sick and tired of living paycheck to paycheck. You're sick and tired of being in debt. And you're angry about it in the sense of the pain it's caused you, maybe even some strain in your relationship with your marriage. And you're like, I want to do something about that. You need to have that Popeye moment and go, you know what? We're going to do something about that. We're going to get our finances in order. And one thing I love about Dave Ramsey, he's factual, he's to the point, and he's biblical. And he will help you. The question is, he'll give you the knowledge. Will you put the practice with the knowledge? Let's talk about families for a moment. It breaks my heart when I see families being torn apart. When moms and dads decide to split apart, to stop fighting for that marriage. Maybe for you this morning, you need to say to yourself, I'm not going to let that happen to my home. This home, we're going to go the distance. We're going to get, in a right way, angry about where we're at and go to God and run to God. We're sick and tired of being sick and tired. We're going to do something about where we're at. Maybe for you, it's children that you see being abused. Maybe it's from sex trafficking or some kind of slavery. You know, we may think that there's no slavery today, even in the United States, but there is. It just doesn't look the same. It's different. It's sex trafficking. And here we are on the crossroads of I-95 and I-20. I guarantee you, sex trafficking happens in this town. It does. What will we do about it? There's things worth getting angry about and saying, I'm going to do something about that. I see some of the different ministries that we support from a choice to make that says, you know what, we're angry about abortion. We don't want to see, we love people. We want to help them, but we're willing to do something about what we're angry about and to love on people and to help people. Listen, I don't know what it is for you. And what I've noticed in my life is that oftentimes God puts a passion or a flame into someone's heart and soul. And then if you just kind of nurture that flame, you kind of just fan that flame, it starts to grow. And then it moves on to other people. He says, you know what? I have that same issue as well. I want to do something about that. And it just grows and it grows. And you see people start reaching people and helping people and serving people because that seed grows, that flame, it grows. What do you need to nurture? What do you need to kind of fan in your life that you know is there? Maybe God's calling you to do. What is he calling you to go and do? Fan it. Let it turn into an inferno. Let it go. Let it go. Here's some of the great news, though. Is that on the subject of anger, we really do deserve God's wrath. We deserve his anger because of our sin. Every single one of us. You see, not a one of us are good enough or ever be good enough for heaven. I see our sin separates us from God. And God, in his grace, gave us Jesus. He gave us the cross that anyone who makes a decision to repent of their sins, ask Christ to forgive them and save them, he will save you, he will change you, he will make you new. You see, God didn't give us rage, he gave us mercy. Amen? And it can be yours. It can be yours. So, preacher, okay, so there's things we should get angry about, but what about the anger that I'm dealing with? What should I do? I'm glad you asked. You see, anger can become sinful when it's motivated by pride. Notice with me in James chapter 1. It's on the screen. You can turn to it if you like. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. This is a half-brother of Jesus, by the way. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak. Notice this. It didn't say don't get angry. Slow to get angry. In other words, if you're going to get angry about something, make sure it's a righteous anger. Make sure it's worth getting angry about. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God. But notice what happens here. So accept the word of God as planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you were only fooling yourself. Listen, you can hear the truth of God's word all day long. The question is, what will you allow the Holy Spirit to do in your life once you leave this room? What does the Holy Spirit want you to do? You can hear it, but what are you going to do about it? He wants you to do something about it. You see, our anger, it can be like a campfire or it can be like a raging forest fire. Campfire, you can, of course, get around it and warm yourself around it. You can bring your kids out there and let them roast some marshmallows or hot dogs. And you can, you know, kids can catch the marshmallow on fire and let it burn because that's the only biblical way to eat a marshmallow. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's the right way. And at least that's what I think. I love roasted marshmallows, burnt marshmallows. And kids can be around it, you can enjoy yourself around it, but a forest fire, you cannot. A forest fire will jump interstates if it's strong enough, if the conditions are right. It will jump roads. It will destroy everything around it. You see, our lives are supposed to bring God glory. The very first sermon of this year, I felt like we want to make sure that we as a church give God all the glory. And so we went off 1 Corinthians 10:31. Well, whether we eat, drink, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. If we're constantly in anger and we're letting anger linger in our lives, we give a foothold to that, he's not going to get the glory. In fact, Scripture tells us in Ephesians 4 as well. It says this, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Think about that. Let's chew on that for a moment. Say, preacher, I have an anger problem. There's things that set me off. You're giving a foothold to the devil in your home. You're giving a foothold. You're allowing the devil, you let his influence to be in your life, in your relationship. What do you think that's going to do? It's going to destroy it. Because he's a father of lies. He destroys everything he is a part of. Everything. One obvious sign that anger has turned into sin is when instead of attacking the problem at hand, we attack the wrongdoer. We are to speak truth and love and use words to build up others, not allow rotten and destructive words to pour out of our lips and destroy everything else around us. See, anger becomes sin when we allow it to boil over without restraint, resulting in a scenario in which the hurt is multiplied. The scripture says, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. Maybe you think to yourself, when I'm angry, I just say what I'm going to say. Maybe yourself like, preacher, I don't have a filter. I say whatever comes to my mind. Now, don't get mad at me when I'm about ready to tell you. The scripture says you're a fool. Don't be a fool. A fool says whatever comes to their mind. A fool just gets angry at whenever they want to be angry. A wise person learns to hold it back. A wise person says, Lord, help me. Help me with this. So how do we handle this anger in which we have? How do we deal with it? Here's a couple things for you. We handle anger by recognizing and admitting our prideful anger. With a lot of emotions, one of the very first things we must do is admit that we have an issue and find someone to help us. You see, Proverbs tells us, 28, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. You may think, well, if anyone knew I really struggled with this area of my life, would I tell you? People don't always connect with our strengths. They connect with our weaknesses, don't they? They will. And fact is, they'll actually respect you more because you're willing to show the issues in which you struggle with. I had someone once I was counseling, and he was angry. It was going to destroy his marriage. As we sat down at Subway, not here in town, but another state, he explained to me what was going on, and I said, man, what's fueling this? Why are you so angry? What's going on? He's like, well, I know why. When he was in middle school, his mother committed suicide. And he was angry. He didn't know what to do with this. He didn't know the Lord, for one. He did after that night, thank the Lord. He decided to give his life to Christ. But he had this anger. He needed the Lord's help, no question. But I said to him, I said, listen, you obviously can't go to your mother. You can't reconcile with your mother, but you can still forgive your mother. There may be people you need to forgive that are gone or you'll never be able to reconcile, but you could forgive them. You could prepare your heart to forgive them. And I said, listen, my recommendation to you is go take a piece of paper and write a letter to your mother and forgive her. You can keep that letter, you can burn that letter, you can chop up that letter, you can share that letter, whatever you want to do with it, do something with it. You need to get rid of that anger off of your heart and put it on paper and give it to the Lord and pray over it. You can take it to her grave if you want to, I don't know, but you need to do that. And it helped him tremendously. He's still married today, has children. That'd be my recommendation. Here's number two. We can handle biblically by seeing God in the trial. Scripture tells us in Romans 8, for we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who what? Who love God. Sometimes there's things that happen in our lives and we don't understand them. Maybe we're tempted or we're angry with God and we don't know what's going on or we're angry at someone else. And so, let me tell you, God is sovereign and he is in control. And we may not ever understand everything on this side of heaven, but we will on that side of heaven. And simply, I'm going to make the choice to have faith and trust in knowing that God is using the trial that I'm in. Instead of being angry about it, I'm going to give it to Him. Here's number three. We can handle anger biblically by making room for God's wrath. So, preacher, I like this one. I'm not sure we should. But Scripture does say this. And I want you to know, just because God has not given you justice in the injustice in which you see, doesn't mean he is not going to do it. It simply is delayed. Delayed justice is not delayed, it's not justice denied. It's simply He will right the wrong in His time. Sometimes you need to make room to let God take care of certain things for us. Romans 12:19 says, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. But the Scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord." It's a promise. Now, I would hope and pray that they would repent. We should pray for our enemies as believers, as difficult as that might be. But to let the Lord take care of what He needs to take care of, and you take care of what you need to take care of, He will keep His word. Here's number four. We can handle anger biblically by returning good for evil. You know, you heard your mama said. You've probably said it yourself. Two wrongs don't make a... Yeah, they don't. The principle's in God's word. It says, same chapter, Romans 12:21. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. You got that neighbor, can't stand. He's a jerk face. If you're a jerk face back, guess what? If you're a jerk right back to him, then how's God going to be glorified in that? You got that spouse who hasn't been very kind to you, is not being the right kind of person to you, the right kind of spouse to you. What should you do? Be ugly right back to him? No, God doesn't like ugly. No, do good unto them. Listen, if you think you can marry someone and like, I'll change him or I'll change her, no, it doesn't happen that way, does it? It does not work that way. You won't change anybody. In fact, we have a hard enough time changing ourselves, let alone changing somebody else. But what you can do is this. You can pray for them. And as well, instead of focusing on trying to change your spouse, why don't you focus on trying to be the right kind of spouse? Amen? Be the right kind of spouse. Let God take care of their heart. He said, preacher, you don't understand. That's tough. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Here's number five. We can handle anger biblically by communicating to solve the problem. We see this in Ephesians. And this is the last passage we're going to turn to is in Ephesians. Turn to me, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 goes into detail here. And it reads in verse 15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. Then skip over to 26. And do not sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. And if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work, and then give generously to the others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that the words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own. Guarantee that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid, notice this, get rid, throw it out. Get rid of it. Kind of like that Japanese lady who's been on TV, decluttering everything. Did that hit your house too? It hit mine. My wife's like, decluttering everything. I called Japanese lady. I don't know her name. I'm sorry, but I haven't watched the show either. I've seen the previews. I'm like, uh-oh, this is a problem right here. My wife is going to see this, and we're going to have to declutter everything. And so I decluttered my closet yesterday, but that's for a different message at a different time. Get rid of all the bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of it. Instead, what does Scripture tell us? Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. What do we see? Be honest and speak People cannot read your mind, but you can speak the truth in love. You can always help how they respond, but you can speak the truth in love. Maybe you're building up anger. You see, when we have issues come in our life, we either carry them, and the heavier they get, the more it weighs, right? We can bury them, and eventually what happens? They explode. And some people completely ignore their problems. They just shed it like a water off the back of a duck's back. It just, nothing ever bothers them. There's an issue and good things about all three of those things. But we get to get rid of it. Stay current. We must not allow what is bothering us to build up and lose control. Here's a third one. Attack the problem, not the person. Along this line, we must remember the importance of keeping the volume of our voices low. Maybe when you get worked up, you get louder and louder and louder, and you're so loud, you don't realize how loud you are, right? I mean, maybe in your home, that's kind of how you operate. Act, don't react. Because of our fallen nature, our first impulse is often a sinful one. A time spent, and we've heard it before, count to 10. I thought, that's the silliest thing. Some wise advice, really. Maybe you just need to take a step back instead of continuing. Say, I'm going to walk out of this for a moment. Cool your jets, so to speak, right? And then come back and deal with it in the correct way that God would want you to. Maybe that's what you need to do. See, we cannot control how others act or respond. But we can control how we ultimately address it. Overcoming a temper is not accomplished overnight. It's something that you're going to need help from the Lord with. You need to spend in some time in prayer with. Spend time in His Word. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit to help you. Because ultimately, whatever you're dealing with, whether it's anger, it's something else, ultimately you need the Holy Spirit of God to change your heart. And that's the third one. A heart change is needed to get a hold of your anger. It's been said everyone thinks of changing humanity and nobody thinks of changing themselves. How true that is. I've got a story I'll end with and I'll be done. But in 1886, Carl Benz drove the first automobile through Munich, Germany. It was so loud, and everyone was concerned about this first car that they saw, that they decided, we need to put a speed limit on this thing. Guess how fast the speed limit was? It was 3.5 miles per hour in the city limits and 7 miles per hour on the outside. Woo, that's flying. I think I can walk 7 miles an hour. I don't know. I have to try that out sometime. Wasn't very fast. Benz knew that he could never develop a market for his car and compete against horses if he had to creep along at those speeds. So he got creative. He decided that he was going to take the mayor of the town for a ride. All right. The mayor accepted. And Benz then arranged for a milkman to park his horse and wagon on a certain street. And as Benz and the mayor drove by, he wanted the milkman to come out and whip out his horse, old horse, and pass them. The plan worked. The mayor was furious, demanded that Benz overtake the milk wagon. And Benz apologized and said that because of the speed law that there was, that he could not go any faster. And very soon, guess what? That law was changed. You got it. It was changed. Listen, God desires for us as Christians to be conformed to the image of His Son by spending time in His Word. That's what will change us. The Holy Spirit. You know, there's been many different changes in our world. There's been many different technology advances, better transportation, better communication. Society has benefited from all those changes. But greater than any change a scientist or inventor can make is the change that Christ wishes to do in your heart. The question is, will you let Him? Will you get rid of those things? Because we need the Lord's help to change our heart, to deal with our emotions. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, as we have this time of reflection, as we think on the message in which you had for us today. That we all can think of times in which we've been angry or acted in anger towards maybe our spouse. It could be our children. It could be relatives. It could be simply with people on the road. And looking back, we can think, man, who was that person? Or, man, I'm so ashamed of the way I acted in that situation. I know God expects more out of me. I don't know what it is for you. On the other hand, there may be something that God has put a flame in your heart that you are passionate about. It's a godly passion in which He has put in you to do something about some of the injustices in which you see that which you are angry about. A righteous indignation. Maybe that's you this morning. And what I know is I need the Lord. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. In both cases. To do what is right. To be the Christ-like man of God that I need to be. So, Father, I pray that not if, but for all of us here this morning, maybe some of us are really, really dealing with some anger issues. Maybe there's some forgiveness that needs to take place. That at the root and the cause of our anger is some unforgiveness in our heart. Some things that we need to give up. Listen, my friend, that unforgiveness that is in your heart, it needs to go. It may take some time, but forgiveness is like setting a prisoner free and then realizing that you were the prisoner. Father, I ask you to bless this time of reflection. We're thankful for your word.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website, southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.